express my appreciation to you who are visiting with us. We have many visitors from many different places. We have several gospel preachers in the audience, and we're grateful for your presence. Many men that I have known for many years, and I appreciate them for their labor in the gospel of Christ, and we're glad to have you. It's been a pleasure to be here this week to preach the gospel, to be associated with you, and to renew old acquaintances. I've seen one man that I hadn't seen in 20 years, Brother Neil Mohan, and his good wife. They're here tonight. I baptized Brother Mohan in Louisville, Kentucky, over 20 years ago, and I labored with the South End Church of Christ. And he's done a lot of good work around over the country, teaching the gospel of Christ. And I understand he worships with the church here at Eastside. It's good to see all of you and have you here. I'm discussing this week problems that face churches of Christ, problems that we must face in the 80s, problems that we must face and solve in the 80s if we are going to leave growing congregations for the next generation. We face a lot of problems. We face a lot of doctrinal problems. But I'm not dealing with doctrinal problems per se. I'm dealing with some problems. If we do not solve, we won't be around to deal with a doctrinal problem. I'm dealing with problems that I think we have overlooked too long. And these problems have sapped the very life out of us. They have almost destroyed the cause in many places. And I pointed out last night that we, of course, had better face up to, started out, of course, Sunday night, pointing out that we'd better face up to the problem of zero growth. And we dealt with that problem and pointed out that we have a responsibility, each Christian, to do his very best to teach his neighbor and his friends the gospel of Jesus Christ. That every Christian is going to have to prepare himself to teach as the Bible teaches. The Bible does not teach that everybody has to be a public teacher. But the Bible most certainly teaches that every Christian is to mature to the place where he can teach privately and communicate the gospel to his friends and neighbors. And we are going to have to get to work. Christians are going to have to prepare themselves and get busy sowing the seed of the kingdom. And then last night we talked about the problem of division over non-doctrinal issues. The fragmentation of congregations all over this land. And we pointed out the problem. We pointed out the reasons that we're having this division. And we dealt with the factious man and many other things that contribute to this. We're going to have to face up to it. We're to the place that we cannot overlook this. We must deal with these problems, and if we don't solve these problems, we are not going to leave growing congregations for the next generation. And tonight we want to discuss the problem of materialism. Materialism has sapped the very life out of us. And as we talk about materialism, I'm going to use this definition. It is from Webster, but I believe it fits what the Lord talks about when he deals with materialism. The tendency to give undue importance to material interests. And that's exactly what has happened to us in the Lord's church. We have given undue importance to material things. And as we began to look at the scriptures, we find that our Lord warned us over and over and over again about giving undue attention to material things. Our Lord said in Luke, the 12th chapter, and in the 15th verse, And he said unto them, take heed and beware of covetousness. For a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of things which he possesseth. Now we all really need to memorize that. We need to think about this often. We need to realize that our life does not consist in the abundance of things that we have. We are prone to judge people and what people are by what they own. If we see a fella and he has a big house and he has a lot of land, and if he has several automobiles, and if he has a lot of other things, then we are prone to think more of that fella than we are of some fella who does not have a lot of things. We are prone to think that things have something to do with making up what a man is. But Jesus says that's not so. That life does not consist in the abundance of things that men possess. And we need to learn that lesson. We need to have that emphasized to us daily. We need to meditate upon that. Jesus again warned in the 6th chapter of the book of Matthew, and in verse 24, he said, no man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. The idea of mammon is the idea of wealth, the idea of riches. And he points out that we cannot serve God and wealth. It is impossible. He starts the discussion of this on up, of course, in the 19th verse, when he says, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon the earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. He goes on to say, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. And so we need to understand that we have been warned over and over and over again by our Lord about serving mammon. The Apostle Paul, he warned about the serving of mammon. In the first letter that he wrote to the young preacher Timothy, in the 6th chapter of 1 Timothy, and beginning with the 6th verse, Paul said, but godliness with contentment is great gain. Now that's what we need to learn. Godliness with contentment is great gain, for we brought nothing into this world. We brought nothing materially into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. Now we cannot carry any of it out. We didn't bring any of it in. And when we leave, we won't carry any of it with us. And we need to understand that. A lot of people live and act as though they are going to carry a lot with them when they die. But we need to have that emphasized. We brought nothing, and we will leave with nothing. Why? Because this material realm belongs to our Heavenly Father. That's emphasized through the Old Testament and through the New Testament. And we are simply stewards while we are here. And God intended the material things of this life not to become our master, but he intended for these things to become our servant. But our problem is, and that's what Jesus is warning about in the 6th chapter, that we will let these things become our master instead of letting material things be our servant. And so the apostle here is warning. He says in verse 8 of 1 Timothy 6, and having food and raiment, let us be therewith content. How many of us are content with food and raiment? How many of us who preach the gospel would simply be content with food and raiment? And we need to keep in mind In this context, the apostle, of course, is teaching and addressing the letter to a gospel preacher. He's telling him what his attitude ought to be toward material things. And we who preach, we need to look at our own attitudes toward material things. Sometimes we who are in the pulpit, we are just as materialistic as those that are in the pew. And so we get our values mixed. We lose sight of what is valuable. And here the apostle is trying to center our attention upon what is important in this life. He goes on to warn. He says in verse 9, "But they that will be rich," in other words, those that set their heart on riches, and they say, "Now, my goal in life is to be a millionaire by the time I'm 40. It's not uncommon to hear some member of the church make some declaration of that nature. And he warns about a man who desires to be rich, and that is his ambition in life, is to just accumulate all the wealth that he can get in his possession. He says, "For they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare." He begins to use figures now to show the danger of it. He falls into temptation and a snare. A snare, like you would snare an animal. And of course, the animal, he does not intend to get snared, but before he knows it, he's caught in the snare. And he's pointing out, this is what materialism does to us. Before we know it, we have been snared. And then he says, "And into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition." The idea of drowned here, if I have any understanding, is the idea of a ship going down with all the hands aboard and all of them being lost and destroyed. And this is exactly what materialism will do to us. It will destroy us. And then he says, "For the love of money is the root of all evil," or the root of all kinds of evil. And the New King James Version does a good job in correcting this when he says, and then he goes on to say, "Which while some have coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows." Now we're warned that when we begin to seek after the material, when that becomes the important thing in our lives, we have set our course to bring about many sorrows to our lives. And indeed, as we look at the church of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ tonight, we have many sorrows. Yes, we do. Many families tonight have all kinds of sorrows because of their children. Many have lost their children, and we'll discuss that a little later on as we go in the lesson. But many have sorrows because they have set their goals in the wrong places. And when they should have been given attention to the important things, they gave their attention to the accumulation of wealth until it destroyed all that was really good in their lives. And we know that to be so. Materialism takes a hold on us. It's hard for us to turn loose of it. It has affected all of our lives. It has affected and crippled the Lord's church. And we just must face this. Jesus stressed, as you began to look at the teaching of Jesus, he stressed the spiritual over the material over and over. Let's go again to the 6th chapter of the book of Matthew, in verse 33, when he says, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." What did Jesus put first? The material? Did he say, "Go out now and put the material before the kingdom, and then if you have time, then you can seek after the kingdom"? No. He said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and the material is secondary. That's what he said. It is secondary. If we've got enough faith to put God first, and it's a matter of faith, brethren. What one of our problems in the church is a lack of faith in God, a failure to trust God. We need to go back and read the Psalms. Study the Psalms. Study old David. If there ever was a man who trusted in God, it was David. Over and over, he says in the Psalms that he put his trust in the Lord. And whenever he would be having difficult times and things hard to understand and being persecuted from every side, what would he say? I put my trust in the Lord. And that's exactly what we need tonight. We must come back to trusting in God. You remember that the Hebrew writer said in Hebrews 11 and verse 6, without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe what? That he is. And what? That he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Now he's not going to reward you and me without faith. We walk by faith and not by sight. And we need to understand what that really means. That just really means that sometimes some fellow says it means what it says. If you understand what it means to walk by faith, it means to trust in God. To trust that he will never forsake us. He'll never leave us. And if we've got enough faith to do what he says, that the secondary things of life, he'll take care of them. He'll take care of them. But we have come to the place where we think that we just have got to take care of ourselves. Jesus emphasized the spiritual over the material. Let's look again in the 16th chapter of the book of Matthew. And down in about verse 26, notice what the Lord said. And we just got through singing the song that was based upon this. For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world? You just get out here and you get it all under your name. Just get a deed to every bit of it. Just accumulate every bit of it. What has a man profited? Now these are not just good sayings we read. These are good sayings we'd better practice. We'd better understand what they mean. What is a man profited if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? What is he emphasizing? The spiritual. He's emphasizing the spiritual outweighs the material, and there is no way to compare the spiritual with the material. But what we want to emphasize, because we are frail, weak human beings, and we're here in the realm of the material, and we're in a material body, we're in flesh and blood, we just lose sight of what's important. The rich young ruler, when he came to Jesus, you can find the record in the 19th chapter of the book of Matthew, 16 through 22, or Mark, the 10th chapter, 17 through 27. But when he come to Jesus and he wanted to know what he might do to have eternal life, Jesus told him to keep the commandments. Of course, he was under the law. He pointed out that he had kept the commandments. But then Jesus told him there was one thing that he lacked. And what was that? To go sell all of his material possessions, give them to the poor, and then, of course, come and follow him, and he'd have treasures in heaven. Now, the young man went away sorrowful. Why? Because he trusted. That's evident from the 10th chapter of the book of Mark, as you read on down through there. He trusted in uncertain riches. Jesus knew what his problem was. Jesus knew what was in his way. And he was a man who lived a good, clean life. That's evident. He kept the commandments. But his heart was wrapped up in the material. And whenever the Lord told him what he would have to do, he'd have to sever himself from the material. He couldn't bring himself to do it. He went away sorrowful. What'd be your attitude if the Lord tonight should tell us that we'd have to give up all the material possessions that we have to have eternal life? How many of us would turn from the Lord and go away sorrowful? We need to realize what's really emphasized. As we turn on to the 10th chapter of the book of Matthew, in the 28th verse, he emphasizes the spiritual over the material when he says, "And fear not them which kill the body," the old fleshly body. Oh, we're so concerned with it. We're so concerned, I know, that we are to keep it healthy. The Lord teaches all of that. We're not to go out here and deliberately destroy it. But we're just so overly concerned with the material body. We're overly concerned with health. Well, you see people that are so concerned with the material body and going to doctors and everything, and they have no concern whatsoever for their soul. Never darken the doors of where God's people come together. When? Because they are so materialistic. And many times we get our values mixed, and we put more emphasis upon the body than we do the soul. But he says, "Fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell." What's he emphasizing? He's emphasizing the spiritual. And so we need to see all the way through. Jesus put the emphasis upon the spiritual as he talked about his kingdom. And of course, that was the disappointment to the old Jews. He thought the Messiah was going to be come and going to set up a materialistic kingdom. He had somewhat the same views that the premillennial people have today. And that he was going to come and going to deliver, of course, the Jews from a Roman oppression. He just couldn't. Jesus did not fit the mold. Why? He came. He was a poor man. He was a carpenter. He lived a very lowly life. And he didn't go in for pomp and ceremony and tradition and all of that. And then when he began to teach concerning his kingdom, he said, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world," he went on to say, "then would my servants fight." What was he emphasizing? That the kingdom is spiritual. It is not materialistic. And we just need to get these basic lessons in our mind. Now, Jesus warned about the wrong use of material possessions. Spent a lot of time in the gospel. Let me call your attention to just a few cases of his warning. In the 16th chapter of the book of Luke, when he talked about the rich man and Lazarus, what is he warning about? He's warning about undue interest in material things. He gives us the picture of a rich man, a man who was self-centered, a man who had no concern with anybody else but himself. All he was concerned about was getting more and living sumptuously, wearing good clothes, but he had no concern whatsoever for his fellow man. Let's read the story, or some of it. He said in the 19th verse of the 16th chapter, "And there was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day." Now he lived well. He wore the best of clothes. He wore clothes that were made out of linen. He was clothed in purple. He was not only wore linen clothes, but his clothes were dyed purple. And so we see then that all of this is an indication of how rich he was, and he fared sumptuously every day. He lived in a good house, that's evident. Because the poor man Lazarus, he lay at his gate. And also we see when he died, he had a lot of friends. It didn't say anything, the record didn't say anything about Lazarus being buried, but they buried the rich man. They put on a big burial for him. They buried him. Now, he had materialistic friends. He was materialistic, and he was concerned with nobody but himself. Let's read on in verse 20. There was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate full of sores, and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. But the rich man died and was buried. But notice what happened. And in Hades, or hell, the King James here, but the idea is Hades. In Hades, he lifted up his eyes, being in torment, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me. But he cried too late. He understood his condition too late. And he was in this condition. Why, friend? What's the lesson here? He was in this condition because he misused the material. He was interested only in the material. He was materialistic in his outlook. He wasn't concerned with the poor. He wasn't concerned with the cause of God. He wasn't concerned with using anything he had for anybody but himself. The Lord also, as he gave the parable of the rich fool in the 12th chapter of the book of Luke, he pointed out another man that was materialistic in his concepts of life. He simply was like the man that David talks about in Psalm 17 and 14, as he talks about the men of this world that have their portion in this world. And this man, that's all he was concerned with. Let's just read the story now. Beginning with the 15th verse of the 12th chapter of the book of Luke. And he said unto them, take heed and beware of covetousness. For a man's life consists not in the abundance of things which he possesseth. And he spake a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do, because I have no room where to bestow my fruits? And then he said, this will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say unto my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. Now, isn't it sad? This man was rich. He had spent his life simply laying up goods, and when he had this good crop, what did he do? He said he didn't have any place to store it without, of course, tearing down his old barns and building them bigger. And he thought then that now, after I've made this big crop, I can just take my knees. But about the time he thought he was ready to live and that he had security, we see then that he died. And he left it all for somebody else. And you know, that's the way of a lot of people. I've watched a lot of folks. I've watched brethren in the Lord. I've watched brethren say, well, now I'm going to tell you. I'm going to retire out here at 65, and I'm laying up this, and I'm getting prepared, and I, or 62, they're going to retire somewhere along in there when they could, and I have all of these plans laid out. Maybe get about that age, and it's terrible, but maybe they have cancer. They're unable to do anything that they plan to do. Unable to use all of these material things that have been afforded. Sometimes they've done without, and most, and the sad part about it, many times I've robbed the kingdom of God over and over and over and over and over again, week after week, Sunday after Sunday. And then a life of sorrow. Really just wasted. Meeting the Maker unprepared. Why? Because they had not laid up a good foundation against the time to come with the material things that were in their possession. And then the time had come when they thought they would enjoy them, and they couldn't. That's the reason we all should not become so enamored with the material things. They are uncertain. Let's go back again to Timothy. In 1 Timothy 6, notice the charge that Paul gives in verse 17. Charge them that are rich in this world that they do what? That they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God, who giveth us richly all things to enjoy. That they what? Do good. Don't let them become your master, but master them and use them. That's what the Lord intended for us to do. Master the material and be the master over the material, and use the material to do what? To do good, not damn our souls. Not become our master. That's what he warned about. The serving of mammon. That they be rich in good works, ready to distribute, willing to communicate. Why, Paul? Why? Here's the answer. Laying up in store for themselves a good foundation against the time to come, that they may lay hold on eternal life. When the Lord has been good to you and prospered your hand and put all these good things in your hand, he didn't put them there for you to bestow upon yourself selfishly as the rich man. He put them there in your hand to do good. To reach out to your fellow man that needs the gospel of Jesus Christ. To use that. It takes money. The Lord taught that all the way through. He taught upon the first day of the week we're to lay by in store in the kingdom. Because to carry out kingdom business, it takes material things while we're in this material work. And I'll tell you, the only money he has is the money you and I have in our pocket. And he brought about the plan of our salvation. He gave us the choice jewel of heaven and brought the plan and revealed it through the Holy Spirit. And then he laid it in our hands to carry out this great responsibility. And he intended us to have faith enough to trust him and to know how, by reading his book, what we're to do with these material things. Spread his kingdom. Do good. Lay up a good foundation against the time to come, and recognize that these things are passing, and that the material things of this life, they are uncertain. We need to recognize that, as he points out back in Matthew 6, 19 and 20, that earthly treasures decay within. 6, 19 and 20. And then he points out that earthly treasures are subject to violence without. Why? I know folks that have money. They live in fear, nearly, in the day in which we live. They have to have burglar alarms on their houses. It's a necessity. People who have material things that are worth anything, and it's not wrong, don't misunderstand me, to have things of value if you properly know how to use the things of value into the in the kingdom of God. But what I'm pointing out is what Jesus said. There's the robber. It's uncertain. Not uncommon for some member of the church, while he's gone to worship, go back home and find all of his valuables gone. Riches and the material is what? It's uncertain. And we cannot trust in it. But the investment we make in the spiritual, that is the investment that abides. As we close the lesson, our time has gotten away from us. I want us to look at how the serving of mammon has weakened the church in the United States. It's weakened us, brethren. And this is an issue we just must face up to. We have sacrificed our children for things. Yes, we have. I've been pointing out in other lessons that surveys that are made, Klein Peyton, he's a liberal, but it'll hit us just as well. He says that in churches of Christ, we've lost 63% of our children. And in many places, just by eyeballing it and looking around, I know places, and you do too, where we've lost the last three generations. I know places where we've lost 75%. Now, we don't want to face some of these things. We don't want preachers in the pulpit even dealing with some of these things. Preach on institutionalism. Well, I preach on institutionalism. Preach on the Grace Unity Movement. I deal with that. But that's not going to solve our real problem. That's knowing the battles at them. We need to look at ourselves. Why have we lost our children? Let's be honest. The workaholic father. Tell you what he's done. He's given his children mammon, 16 years old. He'd buy them a new automobile. They have plenty of money in their pockets to spend. They can do and go and do about all that they please. He has given them mammon, but he has not given them the important thing in life. What is that? Himself, they hardly see him. He works two and three jobs many times. He's not given them the Lord, and he has not given them their salvation. What was important robbed them of. But all the time, he could remember the depression or something else, and he says, I'm going to give them something I didn't have. His daddy gave him salvation. His daddy gave him of himself. But he is going to give his children something else he thought was more valuable. He gave them trash. The devil deceived. We need to understand who the devil is. He is the great deceiver. And he's deceived us, and he's just about destroyed us from within. The working mother, she's given her children more stuff, more things. Maybe the family lives in a better house, but she has robbed them of herself. She's robbed them of proper teaching. She's robbed them of security. Many children are so insecure that have a mom and dad, and they have a big house to live in, and they have a lot of pretty things to play with, and good cars to ride in. But they have no confidence They're without security. They don't think anybody loves them. And all of this. And we say, oh, I just can't figure out why. What's wrong with us? I carried them to church. In this mad rush with everybody else to have our portion of this world's things. We have sacrificed the salvation of our neighbor. As I pointed out, we're barely baptizing a few of our children. I told you, this is simply to try to get a lesson before you. I'm not naming the congregation, but a preacher told me he's fixing to move to work with us in Birmingham. A good group of people. But he said the brethren, they frankly told him, we hadn't baptized any outsiders in 8 years. That's repeated all over this country. And it's just time we just get our heads out of the sand and stop mumbling around. Maybe we're doing pretty good and holding our own and this whole thing. We just got a lot of problems we must face up to as preachers and as elders and as congregation. And the quicker we face it and then get to work on it, the quicker we're going to turn a lot of things around. We just don't have time. When I say we've sacrificed our neighbors, you ask a fella, let's go do personal work. Let's go do this. See this, I can't go, I can't do anything hard. I gotta work. I gotta serve man. We've sacrificed the work of the church. Nobody really has time to do it. Or we can't even count on a gospel meeting. You can hardly count on a gospel meeting anywhere in this country. Why? Just got to serve. We have served mammon, and that's what Jesus warned about. We have served mammon until we've destroyed our families, till we've neglected the salvation of our neighbors. We've neglected the work of the Lord's church. We have sacrificed our association with one another as brethren. We don't know one another. That's one reason we're so fractious and fighting and biting and devouring and suspicious of one another. We don't know anything about one another. First century Christians did. They went home with one another and enjoyed one another's association. Like from Acts 2 and 46, to be part of that verse. We've sacrificed babies. Yes, we have. High money, high interest rate, this whole thing. Young couple starts out. They want it all. They want the best car. They want a good house up in a good neighborhood. They want the best furniture. It takes both of them working to pay for all of that. And therefore, you look around. We can't have babies and have all these material goodies. Can you tell me what's more important? Babies are material gifts. But someday, some folks will find out that babies are more important than material gifts. There's no way to know the balance of babies. It's just a great gap. I want you to look around. This congregation is another congregation. But a gap, when you get down into your preschoolers on up to the third grade. Him and you. A lot of things, brethren, we better face. We don't want to face them. But we who preach, we had better bring these things to the attention of people. Let me tell you something. We've got congregations all over this country. These little warring, fighting groups that don't have elders, and that's one of the reasons we have all the war. Everybody wants to run it. They got these diatribes, and they just move in and take over and maneuver and
pull them off a group and just about do what they want to and don't get their way, they'll pull out here and start them another one.
Elders are to protect the flock. But I'm going to tell you, men have been so tied up in materialism, they haven't had time to raise their families to be Christians. They haven't had time to study their Bibles. They haven't had time to prepare themselves to meet the qualifications. I'm going to tell you, we're suffering all over this country for leadership. And where does it come from? Materialism.
We need to find out what some of the issues are and deal with them. And these are some of the issues that have gnawed the vitals out of us. We're going to lead strong, growing congregation for the next generation. We're going to have to solve some of this. And it's going to have to begin with each individual. The last service, this indeed